Last week we were learning the Gemara about the Mem Aleph on the day, so the Gemara explained as follows. We have a pasuk in connection right at the end of Parshas Korach, in connection with our Parshas Truma and our Parshas Ma'aseh, where the pasuk says, "Saint Olim, Gam Atem, and Truma Parshas." So the Gemara comments on the pasuk, why does it say Gam Atem? So the pasuk seems to be teaching us that Gam, the Rabbi is a Shaliach, Gam the Rabbi Shluchah, that not only can he, you don't require, you don't insist that the farmer has to be mafish from the mafish on his own, or that the baker has to be mafish his own challah from his own bread or cake or cooking. He can appoint a mashgiach, he can appoint a shaliach to act on his behalf and to be mafish from the mafish for him. So the Gemara said, why do I need that pasuk to tell me that there is an institution of shliches in connection with Akasha Truma? Wouldn't I have been able to derive this from the relatives to him? I have a pasuk regarding Gerushin, that if his husband wants to give a get by the shliach, he can do so. I have another pasuk in connection with Shechita Tapeta, that the Gala Korban needs not Shech the Korban himself, he can appoint the shliach through the Shechita on his behalf. So if I have these two psukim, wouldn't I be able to figure out on my own that Shluch HaShalom Kamoto should apply as well to HaFrash HaShkun? So it's more to the actual right. You really don't need a pasuk Gam L'Rabbit to Shliach to teach you that shliachs exist by HaFrash HaShkun. I would have known that from the other two psukim. The pasuk tells me to limit the shliach. Not for the Gam, I would have thought you can either appoint a Machri as a shliach to be Machri Shkun. And now that I have a pasuk, on 10, Gam HaTem, the pasuk is comparing the shliach to the Mishaleach. That Ma HaTem B'nei Bris, the Torah is speaking to Jewish people, HaShluchach B'nei Bris, the shliach has to be Dafka Yisrael. And you are unable to appoint a Machri to serve as your shliach for HaFrash HaShkun. That you can appoint anybody as a shliach, that you can appoint a Yisrael as a shliach, I would have known without the Gam HaTem. Based on the other pasukim, namely the shliach is by the get, and the shliach is by the shliach is by the get. But the part of Gam tells me that there's a limitation, that you cannot appoint a Machri as a shliach to the purpose of HaFrash HaShkun. So we don't be more or less free, check our kashim. The Gemara asks, why do I need a pasuk to limit the shliachs? That one can't, that the Yisrael cannot appoint a Machri as a shliach. For HaFrash HaShkuna, don't we know in Tzadah Svara, we have a principle that has that seasonal pasuk, it's so self-evident, that you can only appoint one of the shliach with the Yeshua of the Torah, if that matters. Just like Rabbi Yechanan says on his own, with no source in Tanayim, no source in the pasuk in Chumash, he says in Tzadah Svara, that one cannot appoint a Nebet Tznaini as a shliach for the purpose of Gittin or for Kiddushin, because a Nebet Tznaini cannot be married to anybody. He cannot marry a Shivchach Tznaini, he cannot marry a Yisrael, he cannot marry a Nochriyah. Because the Pasuk says, Shulachem Tor Nachamor, Amadon Nachamor, a Nebet Tznaini has no peace of Kiddushin at all, not with anybody. But since a Nebet Tznaini cannot have Kiddushin, he cannot have Gerushin, so we know on our own that even though a Nebet Tznaini can serve as a shliach in other areas of halacha, I can appoint a Nebet Tznaini as my shliach to Shef Nechom Pesach. Absolutely nothing wrong. I can appoint a Nebet Tznaini as my shliach to do Nechom Memka, to sell, to buy, in other areas. I can appoint him as a shliach for Trumas and Isis, but I cannot appoint a Nebet Tznaini for a shliach to do Kiddushin on my behalf or Gittin on my behalf, because he's Ein HaVetorah, Gittin Kiddushin. He has no shaykhah for that part. So through the Gemara is, a Nochri, a Goy, has no shaykhah for the parasha of HaFrosh HaTrumas. So how can, why do you need a pasuk to say that one cannot appoint, why do you need a pasuk in the area of Trumas tonight? The pasuk is written by HaFrash HaTrumas. Atem Gam Atem, the Rabbi says HaShliach, that the Shliach must be a Yisrael, just like the Torah speaking to the Mishalech who is in Yisrael. So the Mori asked the Kasha, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that the Shliach cannot be a Nachri? I would have known on my own that a Nachri is no good, because a Nachri cannot be Mafrash Trumas tonight. So the Mori quoted for this, the Mishnah in Shulman, so there was a machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. So we spent a little time last week on learning this machlokes. Both Rav Shimon and the Chachamim agree, that's how the Yishalmi comment, Masech of Shulman. Both Rav Shimon and the Chachamim agree that when the Nochri, when the Goy is Makrish, Shulman's and Maestris, Nochri doesn't have to be Makrish any Shulman's and Maestris. The Goy only have the Shev Mitzvahs and the Seven Mitzvahs, and if they do that, they get to Olam Haba, from the city of Mazar, wonderful. They don't have to do more than the Seven Mitzvahs. They want to volunteer more than the Shev Mitzvahs and the Mitzvahs. Tov Alei Brach, it's wonderful. To get Tzah like an Eilim Mitzvah of the Earth. Just like if an Isha does with the Tzah and Shaz Mandrama, that she's part of the Frah. But she gets Tzah, and she doesn't get the same amount of Tzah that an Ish would get. So too, the Rambam comments in the Sefer Shemeshnayis on Trumas is that Achri wants to volunteer mitzvahs that are over and above the Shevet mitzvahs in Emaya. He may do so, and he'll get tzchach, but he won't get as much tzchach as Yisrael, who does these mitzvahs, because Yisrael is in Tzuvah, and in Achri is in Tzuvah. So if the Achri is Machish Trumah, the Mishnah assumes that both the Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon, the Trumah will be valid. It will be chal. And a non-Kohen will not be permitted to eat this Trumah, as a regular status of Trumah. However, the Machlokas, the dispute among the Tanan between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon is, to what extent will the Truma have its Kedusha? Will it be a full Kedusha Truma, or will it only be an incomplete Kedusha Truma? So Rav Shimon says that even though the Nachri can volunteer to do mitzvahs over and above the Shevet mitzvahs in Inaya, and he gets tzchar for those mitzvahs, but since he gets tzchar only as an enemy of Tzimu V'yaisen, so his Kima mitzvah is incomplete, but his being Mafish Truma is also incomplete. The Truma that is Mafish is an incomplete Truma. He doesn't say this on his own, just in Tzayas Vare, the Gemara in the Gemara in Zvachim learns it out from a pasuk. If you look in the Tosfos on the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph on the day, and the last two lines in the Tosfos, they tell you to look, they quote the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Mem He, the supplement of Gemara. Agama doesn't explain so much at all. The Gemara in Zvachim supplements it. Tosfos quotes the last line in the half, and it says Zvachim Daf Mem He, the Amar of Shimon, is of the opinion that if a Nachri is Magdish a Karban, the Gemara says if a boy doesn't have to bring any Karban. And if he wants to bring Karbana, some of the Karbana we don't allow him to bring. He can't bring a Chata, he can't bring an Asham, he can't bring a Karban Pesach, he has no Shaitan to do. He's got a Karban Ola, he knows that Daddy Shaitan, he's Karban Shlom, and Karban Ola, that if he wants to give the Nebu and a Dover, that he can volunteer. Karban Ola and Karban Shlom. But the Gemara has a dispute between Rav Shimon and Chachamim, that says his quote in Zohar and Nachman Hay, when a Nachri is Magdish a Karban, does it have the same level of Kedushas Karban as in the case when the Israel is not Kedusha Karban, the full Kedusha Karban, or do you say no, the Kedusha Karban will be an incomplete Kedusha? So Rav Shimon says, Kod Shei Yod Bekechavim, the Goy is not Kedusha Karban, Ein Bohem Megila. Even though it has Kedusha, no one is allowed to use it, but if somebody will be Nehne from that Karban, the Shogeg, he won't have all the penalties of Megila, namely, he won't have to even care of the Chomesh, and Hashem Megillah. It's a reason to be managed, and the Karban that there's no penalty, there's no ownership of Hashem Megillah. And he also says, no, there's no Tchi of Karban, it's a Ketami is the Karban. And if it turns into Tigal or Nosar, also there's no Karban. He doesn't have all the full freedom of a regular Karban of Yisrael. But the Gemara explains his Rav, and the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon, and we pass on the Chachamim. That the Karban of a Nachri, the Karban Ola of a Nachri, has the full freedom of a Karban of Yisrael, has Zilin, has Tigal, has Nosar, has Karban, everything, all the same freedom, as the regular carbon of Yisrael. How does Rav Shimon know that it doesn't have the full Kedushas carbon? The Tosfos quotes the Gemara, the Yalfinon, because we do not Yisrael the Chay Chay in the Truma. In connection with the Elo, the Torah uses the phrase Chay. And in connection with HaKadosh's Truma, the Torah uses the word Chay. And regarding Truma, if the Nafi is Makash Truma, which he doesn't have, if he doesn't want to be Makash any Truma, doesn't have, that if he volunteers to be Makash Truma, Nafi has a farm in Eretz Yisrael, and he chooses to do a mitzvah in the community, should have said this. So then it's again a machlokes of Shimon and the Chachamim, whether his truma is valid, just like his carbon is valid. He's not in carbon oil that has a Kedushas carbon, but if he's not his truma has Kedushas truma. But does it have a full Kedushas truma, or does it have an incomplete status of truma? So if Shimon has a positive by truma, it's not a svara that he says. It's not a svara, you wouldn't really know one way or the other. That is why you would have thought that the truma is the same as the truma that Israel is makdish, and the carbon that the machlokes is makdish is the same Kedushas carbon as the one of the Yisroel. So he has a passage by Truman. The Truman sees the name Yisroel below Yav B'Tachon. By Truman there's a passage that says only the name Yisroel. And the Nachri cannot be Makash Truman. And the passage cannot be taken at face value that the Nachri Shehif is Truman. The Truman is not Chal at all. No, that's not true, because we have a passage that teaches us that a Nachri should be Makash Truman. So if a Nachri should be Makash Truman, why should he say that he can't be Makash Truman? Should be the same? So that's why Rav Shimon takes it, that the Tzadik is telling me that his Truma is on a lower level of Truma. Doesn't have the full din of Truma. And he has the Zereshava Chet Chet, which teaches us that just like the Truma of the Goy is on a lower level of Truma, so to the Karban, if the Nachri is not, which will also be on a lower level of Truma, won't have the full Kedushas Karban. And the Chachamim learn the Zereshava Chet Chet, but they deny that that part is in Israel, teaches us by Truma that the level of the Kedushas Truma of the Nachri is lower. That probably teaches me a different thing, that if the Nachri doesn't want to give it to the Kohen, he doesn't have to. I would think like this, if the Nachri has a farm in Eretz Yisrael, if he doesn't want to be Makish Truma, he doesn't have to. But if he goes ahead and he is Makish to Truma already, I would have said, well, once he already created Kedusha Shuma, he must give it away to the Kohanim. If he didn't want to be Mazir Shuma, he doesn't have to get involved in the first place. He can eat everything, he doesn't have any Dima Tevel. This is not from his mitzvah, it's not from the Shevet mitzvah of Eretz. But once he's already Mazir Shuma, one might have thought, well, once he has Shuma, he must give it to the Kohanim. He's not permitted to sell it to a Kohanim. But the Pasuk says, no, but then you saw below HaNochim, that even after the Nochim was Mafish the Truma, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to give it to the Kohan. If he wants to, he can sell it to the Kohan. If he wants to, he can eat it himself. Because the Easter against eating Truma to a non-Kohan is not from the Shem and it's in that. And he doesn't choose to volunteer that mitzvah. That's the thing. Not if you need anything trace that he wants to. I'm not permitted to sell it to an officer. It's in the Shneret Shumai side. It's like Kedusha. It's like taking a Gemara, throwing it in the garbage. You're not allowed to do that? Taking Kedusha's Shuma. Yep, Shuma that has Kedusha. But if the Nafi has his own farm, he's not his own Shuma. Do whatever you want. That's what the Rabbanim of the Shimon say that the Pasuk B'nei Yisrof, Aloha, because Chavim tells me that even though the Nachri was Masis to Tumah, if he chooses, Nachri doesn't have to give it to a Kohen.
That's like
the Tumah, meaning that also Kohen is. They say, no, it is Tumah, and a non-Kohen is not permitted to eat it. But if any non-Kohen will eat it, there'll be Yisrof B'nei Shaman, but if the Nachri wants to eat it, he has no Yisrof. Yeah, he gives it to the Kohen as well. He can do the Nachi can do whatever he wants. The Nachi, the Kohen, yeah, that's it.
That's
the Pasuk in the Chumash. So the Pasuk says, Kohen ki yikin lefesh ki yikas for hem yachlu bala. That's the Pasuk. The Kohen is permitted.
It's
a hefer, that's a special hefer, the Chumash there, that if the hem is Kohen, it's permitted to eat Shuma. But to sell it to someone else is... Tell someone else to feed it to his day. And every Knaim of the Kohen may eat, and the Kohen of the Kohen may eat. But the Kohen should sell a Shuma to a non-Kohen to feed it to his day and his son. There are cases like that, possible. Rare, because usually you say Masha Kohen, every Kohen around. Usually whatever belongs to the other Knaim belongs to the Yadon. But the Gemara has in the first period of Kedusha, there are rare instances where the Yadikani can have his own property. It's possible. He means he has his own farm and he's not his own shum. Okay. He can do that.
So far, whatever he's done has always been able to get his agent
for
his
property. No, he can have his own also. Let's say the Yadikani has his own farm and he's not his own shum, then he has a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. The Yadikani is chazan ola mitzvah. The Yadikani is a regular mitzvah, chazan ola mitzvah. So the Gemara presented this argument between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Again, just to review, when the Nachri has a farm in Eretz Yisrael, and he chooses to be Mafish Shuma, which he doesn't have to do if he doesn't want to. It's not for the Shadim Mitzvahs in Eretz. So if he chooses to do it, he's the Rambam comments in the Tirush HaMishmaris on Shuma on this Mishnah. So the Nachri will get Chah, like one who does a Mitzvah, ain't a Mitzvah of Eretz. So he'll get less Chah than one who does a Mitzvah that is obligated to be, namely the one who is Mitzvah of Eretz. Okay, he gets less Chah. But forgetting about his tzar in Olam Habo, forgetting about his chayshin in Olam Ayin, what about the truma that he was mafish? What status does the truma have? Does it have a full bit of truma? Or do you say the kedusha is incomplete? So the Shin is claiming based on this passage, B'nai Yisrael, below all the kachodim, that although the Nachri has the ability to be mafish truma, his truma can never attain the full level of kedusha truma. It'll be an incomplete kedusha truma. And therefore, since his truma is incomplete, and we have the shava chayt in truma, so the name of when he's makish a carbon, also his carbon has kedusha, but it has an incomplete kedusha carbon. So therefore, it won't have all of the dinim of carbon. It won't have the dinim of meila. It won't have figo. It won't have all the special dinim that the regular kachay yisrael carbonis of yisrael. And the rabbanim disagree. The rabbanim think that the truma that the nachri is makish has a full kedusha truma, and the carbonis that the nachri is makish has a full kedusha carbon. That's the makleik of the pshimim and the rabbanim. So the Gemara presents the kasha. According to the Rabbanon, who say that the truma that the Nachri is Nachish has a full status of Kedushas Truma, so I would have thought that I could appoint the Nachri as my shaliach to the Nachish Truma, I might be here. Because the Nachri is Yeshna the Terus HaFroshat Truma. The Nachri has the ability to be Nachish Truma for himself, full-fledged Kedushas Truma for himself. So I would have thought that if the Yisrael chooses to appoint the Nachri as his shaliach, he should have been able to do so. Tamid Pasuk to say, Atem Damatem, Atem Ben Adri, Tashukhat Ben Adri, he cannot appoint a Malka Yerushmiya. I need to say that first. But according to Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says that the Kedusha is true, that the Malka is Mafrish, has an incomplete Kedusha, can never attain it, will never look Kedusha true, he has a Pasuk. Then I throw a lot of Kedusha. So why do I need a party? Let's be more kashi. We learned to be the kashi. Why do I need a party that says Atem Gam Atem? Ebi Yisrael, the farmer who is Jewish, cannot appoint him not yet his Shia. So the Mafia is Shuma and the Behev. Isn't that kashi? Because I want to be, the Yisrael wants to be Mafia is full Shuma. And the Nafri is not the Torah. Shuma is the Nafri. He cannot be Mafia is full condition Shuma. Even if he wants to be Mafia is Shuma's own Shuma, he cannot. So how can I possibly think that I should have the ability that the Yisrael should be able to appoint a Nachri as a Shliach, and the Nachri should be able to be Mavish a full Kedusha Tumah if the Nachri doesn't have the Torah's full Tumah? The Nachri doesn't have the ability to be Mavish full Tumah. How can I think that he can serve as a Shliach for me? That would be the Gemara's comment. So the Gemara said, you're right. The Pasuk is not needed to tell me that a Nachri cannot serve as a Shliach. It tells me a different thing. I would have thought, even though I had the Tukim, I had the Pasuk by Gerushin, that the husband can appoint the Shliach, and I have the Pasuk by Shchitas HaKohen Gosah, and in these two cases, Shlichus does exist. So I would have not been able to figure out on my own, I would have not argued on my own, that who are Dinami by HaFrosh HaShumah, one can appoint the Shliach. I would have thought that since I have a Din HaTem, came to Rimu Gam HaTem, and I have a Drosha HaTem, but Shutsun HaTem, but HaRitim, and HaTem, but HaPetropolis, the doctor, the Baal HaTzvur himself, the farmer himself, not the Marvish HaShumah. I would have thought that a Shliach can also not be Mavish Shumah. I need a special person to tell me that Shliach is supposed to be my Shumah. That's the most common thing. So last week we didn't discuss this fully. So this raises an issue over here. How do we have this situation? The Nachri has a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, he bought a farm. How did he get a farm? He bought a farm. He came in the day of Yishuv the moon when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So they took over the whole land. And then they divided it among the 12 shvat. And then they, every shame, they divided among the individual members. So where did the goy come in here? The goy is someone venical. He can't yarshin. A goy can't yarshin from the yid. It's not possible. Maybe he bought a farm. He bought a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they belong to him. So what's the deal if a goy borrows a farm in Eretz Yisrael and he grows through on his farm? Not the tzvua is tzevel. The tzvua is like a tzevel. Because if the tzvua is not tzevel, so what are we talking about? A whole discussion of shin and the rabbanim and the nachri and the lachish truma. And Sukkim, everything is Sukkim from the Chumash. We're talking about real human derisions, real biblical laws over here. How is that possible that there should be a Dinman HaTorah that grows on the farm that belongs to the Goy? Has the Shaykh as the truth of the matter?
It's not his Goy.
No, no, no. But Tezis raises this problem. Tezis asks, we have a passage that says, Rashi's begon from Girosh Chav Yisrael. The Torah speaks about the truth of the matter that we give to the Goy. So the Torah doesn't say Rashi's Dagon. The Torah says Rashi's Dagon Chol. So the word Dagon Chol means your Dagon. Dagon means grain. Dagon is grain and Tirosh is wine. And Yitzhar is oil, olive oil. So the Torah says Dagon Chol, Tirosh is Chol, Yitzhar is Chol, yours. So the Gemara says it means Dagon Chol, below Dagon Nachri. So whatever grows on a goy farm doesn't have any din of tevel. But you're permitted to eat it without any shrooms or mices at all in our Torah. Before you get any din of Dagon. But they just ask, what's going on over here? What do you mean? The goy has a farm, and the goy goes ahead and makes truma, and all the time the Shimon and the Rabbana both agree that truma is a truma, and a Torah, that a non-Kohen is not permitted to eat the truma. They just argue to what extent is this truma. Is it full kedushas truma? And if a non-Kohen eats it, is a punishment of the cultivation, mayim, and therefore you need mayot to be levatlev, and therefore there's a din of chomesh. If a zari to be shel big bina, so you have to give chomesh, or do you say no? It doesn't have the full kedushas truma, so therefore if it becomes mixed in with other food, you don't need mayo, it's bapa tashishin. And if a non-Kohen eats it, you don't have this penalty that he has to give a chomesh. The chomesh is only when the aver was so terrible that if he would have done the aver the names, it would have been released in the Rishon Mayim. And because the non-Kohen ate the truma to shake, you have to give Kohen chomesh. But over here, it's not a full kedushas truma, so there wouldn't have been released in the Rishon Mayim. The person says, what are we talking about over here? This is impossible, the whole story. What is it? Goy has a farm. Whatever goes on the goy's farm is not tevel. This is him. The goy is called below the gun, Nachri. That's the person's question. The person says, well, that's a machlokas at the line. How do you dash in the pasuk? The goy is called below the gun, Nachri. The chos of the goy comes to exclude Shal Nachri. But what exactly does it exclude? Does it come to exclude the case of Yesh King Nanachi Be'ez Yisrael HaPkir Mi'achum of the Maisus, meaning that the Nanachi owns the farm, and the Tzvua grew in his Rishus, he owned the farm when the grain was growing, when the olives were growing, when the grapes were growing. So because it belongs to the Goy, the Shashman grew from the ground, and it developed on the ground, therefore these grapes or these olives or this grain just doesn't have a din of Tzvua of the Maisus. That's how you would simply read the Goncha, perhaps with the Goncha, which grew in the Goy farm, but he's saying no. The din is Ein Kinyan L'Nachri Be'eretz Yisrael. The Goy can have a Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. If he buys a farm of his, it belongs to him. He can have a hotel, he can have farms, he can have whatever he wants. But we're not allowed to sell to him. It's a different din. The din of the Chemish that Yonach is, but it says, like the Chonim, the Gemara says, like, see from the Hemchan, only the Karka. One is not permitted to sell any Karka in Eretz Yisrael to a Goy. It's one of the problems in the Shnat HaShmita. So they want to avoid the din of Shmita, which is only the good Rabbanon, so they go ahead and sell the land to a Goy, which may be a Misa Deraita. So that's what many of the Gedolim Taina, they want to avoid a Misa Rabbanon of Shmita, so they go and violate the bigger Rabbanon of selling the land to a Goy. If it belongs to a Goy. The din is that it's kind of it's only Tosa from this is what we're going to discuss right now. So the question is, what does this Tosa mean? The Gon Cho, below the Gan, below Shal Nochi. So one Tana says that it comes to exclude that Yesh King in the Nochi, there is his field. The Goy owns the field, there is his field. Whatever grows in his field, on his farm, is Tosa from Shal Nochi. His opinion is not accepted. We don't pass on that. We pass in any King in the Nochi, there is his field, up here, and he He has a king in a dini mominus, but the field is his. We're not allowed to sell it, but the difference is the less chana, but if he bought it, but however he got it, if it's his, it's his in dini mominus, but in the midst of the heter, it's not his. We say, ain't king in another place to sell, but he's not here for the midst of the heter, for it. However, we still hold to the pasuk, the groncho of Elo Shal Nachri, that the Gemara explains we darshan it differently. Not the groncho, we rather darshan digun. Digun means when I take the grain, and I detach it from the ground, and I take out all of the stolas, I take all the straw out, and I take all the shells out, and I take all the fields out, and I clean out all the stolas, and I pile it up in a neat pile that's called Meruach. The Moritz calls that Meruach. And I pile everything up in a Kree, and then you chos ratio to the Kree, a neat pile. That's the Gemar Malach place that he is Shum is the Mice. It's full dim. You cannot be Mark as Shum while it's still attached to the ground. You have to first detach it from the ground. And then the full Kree, so once you detach it from the ground, you can't be Mark as Shum is the Mice. Even before you separate all the straw, even before you separate the yoko from the stolen. But the full din d'oraita that you must be mafish to Mr. Mice is only that thing after doing the ruach, after separating the stolen from the yoko. So the Gemara is... That's another step. You have to have, in addition to the ruach, you must have all kariyas k'nei abayis. That's another step. But, right, you permit it to nibble until you have yoko k'nei abayis. So the Gemara has this machlokes tafanan. How do you dash in the pasuk begon cho v'lo shal nafi? It clearly states the pasuk is clearly teaching us a din that sometimes grain or grapes or olives or whatever it is, as chazishim and mice, bananas, potatoes, oranges, apples, whatever it is, sometimes if it's in the possession of a nafi, it's pasuk from shemai. The question is, at what moment of time does it have to belong to the Goy that the Natara should be relieved from the din of Shumat Maizu? So one opinion in Tanoim, the view that is not accepted is, that if at the time that it's growing on the ground and it's developing till it's one-third of its ripeness, that's considered sufficiently ripe. If the one-third of its growth occurs while it belongs to a Goy, then it's part of Shumat Maizu. That's the opinion of Yesh kin yilakum l'hafkir mi'achim z'mayis. That's the view that we reject. We don't pass on that. So what do we do with the pasuk zigron cho? So we don't dashin zigron cho, zokan shel cho, we dashin zigun shel cho. Zigun means when you make the miruach. If the miruach is done, miruach means that the separating of the yoko from the stolas is done, while it's vua, while it's tough, the whole thing belongs to a Jew, then it's chai b'shun z'mayis. But if it belongs to a goy at the time the miruach is done, then it's part of the Shemus Mayim. So you say, what if I give the Hevel as a gift to the Goy? It depends, when did I give it as a gift to the Goy? If I give it to the Goy before doing the Ruach, and then the Ruach is done while it's the Shus HaGoy, the thing will be that it's part of the Shemus Mayim. But if I give it as a gift to the Goy after the Ruach is done already, then it already was Hevel, so the fact that it belongs to the Goy now is not going to cancel the din of Shemus Mayim. You're getting back again. That's how we pass. Yeah.
The guy, yeah, the guy can eat it.
Yeah, there's no work.
The obligation to be makris and shulman in our Torah, the obligation only says to me after doing the neruah. After separating the offer from the stomach, and it's really ready to eat now. But it still has a stomach, and it's not really ready to eat. You can nibble, you can start pulling things up, but you can't really eat it normally. You can't make flour out of it and start making bread. You can't eat this stuff yet. So then the seal to be makris shulman and makris didn't say in yet in our Torah. The Tosafot wants to know, what is going on over here? What do you mean? The guy had a farm, and he's makris shulman, and we have a debate whether his shulman is a full din of shulman or only an incomplete din of shulman. So he says, there shouldn't be shulman at all. What's going on? The guy had the farm from the beginning to the end, no? So either you dash from the gun for prat to the havlash, which the yad havloi, that if it's growing in the shoes on the farm of the guy, then it's not terrible at all. It's not terrible, so you can't be makris shulman to makris. Or you dash in the gun for the lo digun akum, so if it belongs to the guy at the time of the meruach, so then there's no tabel, there's no din of shulman to makris. But here it belongs to the guy all from the beginning to the end. So how can we discuss the guy? There's no din of their ancient. How can we discuss the shale when the nachri is makris is shulman? Does it have the full din of shulman? Does it have an incomplete din of shulman? It shouldn't have any din of shulman. If it belongs to the guy both at the time that he's growing and at the time that he made the separation of the offer from the stolen, then there should be no status of tabel at all. And if it's not tabel, it can't make shulman.
How can you make a chef make it? Just says this is Eretz.
But you can only make shulman the same way Al Yisrael can make shulman. So you can't just walk into the store in New York City and buy an orange and say, I want this to become shulman. Yisrael has to have something that grew in Eretz Yisrael, and that it's tabel, and that the shulman was not yet removed from it, and he says, this should be the shulman on the tabel. But if it didn't, then whatever grew the shulman offer is not tabel. Or you forget about what grew. You say whatever the guy owns, whatever belongs to whatever food, whatever produce belongs to the guy at the time that the meruah was taking place, doesn't have the status of tevel, then the guy cannot volunteer to be makris shulman to makris on something that's not even tevel. That says it's kasha. How is it possible over here that the guy is makris? This stuff is just not tevel. What's going on? The Tosafot says we have to limit the case. We have to say we're talking about a case that the farm did not belong to the guy. The farm belonged to a Jew. Okay? The farm belonged to a Jew, said Tosafot. So how did the guy get it? The guy bought it. The guy bought it later. It grew, the farm belonged to a Jew, and the stuff grew, and then the Jew made the meruah, and then the guy bought it from the Jew. Now the guy wants to be makris shulman to makris. But that's not good either. There's another hitch. There's another passage that says, also the passage is Reisha Zigon Ho, but the Gemara says, Prat l'lokuach. That's the Gemara in the end of Bavan Nesir. They just doesn't tell you the doubt, but you know the Zigon Ho says, Hey. But the Gemara says, if the farmer grows fruits, vegetables, grain, whatever grows on his farm, he's not allowed to eat it unless he's not his Chumash Maitis. Once he sells it to somebody else, the whole need for Chumash Maitis is only with the Rabbanim. The din of Chitzevel, that you're not allowed to eat the stuff, unless you're not for Chumash Maitis, is only Kozman that the farmer eats. Once the farmer sells it to somebody else, the whole din of Chitzevel is only the Rabbanim. Okay. The place to start raising questions over here, maybe it's not so special. Maybe the din of Lakua, maybe it is din, that if I buy the grain from somebody else, I don't have to not be shulman to makris. Maybe that's only if I bought the grain after meruah. Maybe it's only if I bought the grain before meruah. The place has conflicting opinions that limit this din. But first, just ask, before you get to the details, first just ask, what's the case over here? What do you mean the goy is not the shuma? If the group is shusai Yisrael, and Yisrael made the meruah, and then the goy buys it afterwards, so then the Minatoro says, there's no fear to be makris shumas ma'itis at all, it's not terrible. So what do you mean you have psukim? You have a question of how to read the psukim, whether the goy is shuma, is full shuma or incomplete shuma? It's not shuma at all, it's nothing. There's no shuma Minatoro, all shuma from the Rabbana. What's the whole discussion about? The Tosafot starts to explain, no, it means like this. They get very involved over here. Tosafot gets really into a pickle. They say, it grew, the field belonged to Raju. And the grain grew one third of its full growth. And then the goat bought the farm when the stuff is still attached to the grain. But since the farm belongs to the goy also at the time that it was growing, so there's no dinner. And later on, thank you to the whole conversation, later on the goy sold it back to the Jew. After he cut it off from the ground, the goy sold the stuff back to the Jew. And then the Jew did the meruah. So it comes out that the growth, the havuah shlish, the one-third growth of the grain, the farm belonged to the Jew at the time that it was grown. And at the time that the meruah was done, the Jew also belonged to the Jew. And the fact that the goy bought the grain from the Jew after the Jew did the meruah is not called mokuah, it's not considered mokuah, because the goy owned it for a while it was growing in the ground. It's an awkward case. The Tzaddik says that must be the case that the Mishnah is broken. Very, very difficult. That's a far-fetched case, very difficult. So the Nesir has a famous comment. The Rosh Hashim from Valojan, I'm not sorry to you, who is Berlin, but the father of Meir Bar Ilan, has a comment, father of Chaim Berlin also. They were brothers, of Chaim Berlin and Meir Bar Ilan were half-brothers, and had the same father with a different mother. So the Nesir has in his comment on this verse, he thinks that you can give a much easier interpretation over here. He thinks that the din of Lakuah, that if I buy grain from somebody else, that the Torah says I don't have to be mafish shimus amaitis, that only means if I don't want to, I don't have to. But if I go ahead and I am mafish shimus amaitis, he thinks that it would be calm in our Torah, not just in the Ramah. He thinks that this is unlike the other din of zigun hamafri or havuah shlish b'yad hamafri. If you learn the pasuk b'gam kol, start with Zogar Nafri, I've got the Zigun Nafri, however you interpret over there, that if the goy owns the farm, when the tzvua is growing, the tzvua is not settled, then it's not settled at all. Even if you want to volunteer a shuma, it won't be valid, it won't be chum. Or if the tzvua belongs to a goy at the time that the miyuch was done, when the stolas is separated from the yochel, then the din is that the tzvua doesn't become settled, and no hafrosh is possible at all. But this pasuk that speaks of lakuach, that if the one person bought the tzvua from somebody else, and he doesn't have to be mafish shumah, that means if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. But if he goes ahead and he is mafish, then it will be chal. He goes ahead, and it goes ahead to list off a series of mitzvahs where you have things in the Torah available to the Yisrael. You have situations where if you don't want to do something, you don't have to, but if you do it, if you volunteer it, you have a mitzvah. This is not the same mitzvah we had before. Let's say a woman wants to sit in sukkah, a woman wants to shake a loose. That's a mitzvah that exists in the Torah, that men have to shake lulav, men have to listen to the shofar. Or let's say the nochri wants to volunteer to be mafish shumah. The din is that Israelim have to be mafish shumah, whether they like it or not, they must be mafish shumah. So we have a din, the nochri can be ain't a mitzvah v'yaseh. He can volunteer to do a mitzvah that exists in the Torah for other people that they're obligated to do. But do you have any mitzvahs in the Torah that are completely optional? The Torah has a list of mitzvahs that you must do. And this, if you want extra credit, you can do this. If you don't want to, you don't have to do it. If you want to do it, and you get schar considered in the Torah. Do you have such a thing? Shiloh HaKan is not really. Shiloh HaKan is a din. If you meet up with a kan before, you have to send away the mother. That's an obligatory din. That's it. Stuffing, you must give stuffing. The din, you must give stuffing. How much stuffing you have to give, that's a different question. According to one's wealth, they have to give stuff, but it's an obligation to give stuff. Can you really find such mitzvahs? Usually you don't find such mitzvahs. Then a series has a chiddush, and it lists off a series of such mitzvahs. He claims that this would be a case, one of his cases. He says if you buy tevel from somebody else, so the din is prat l'lokuach, the gomcho prat l'lokuach, that you don't have to be mafish to mitzvahs. Nobody who buys tevel from anybody else has to be mafish to mitzvahs, but if someone would volunteer, if he marks a truma, he says it would be chal min ator. Then he gives you a series of other mitzvahs and he claims such a concept.
Is there a law
that
says
the Lakuach doesn't have to be Yeah.
And does it
say it's only in the Ramana? Right, Lakuach is only in the Ramana.
Right,
that's in Bavman Liyah. No, the Gemara says the obligation to the marks a truma, the Lakuach is only with the Ramana. But then it says, that means that you're not obligated to be marks. But once you want marks, the fact that the truma is chal is the king of the night. He said that it's chal min ha-tor.
I don't understand. Well, Hashem is chal min ha-roishu, that there's no chiyam on the road to
get truma. Clearly,
yes. The only thing is, if he gets truma, why in the heck is he not that truma?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truma that the goy is giving is not to be ma'ir ben kezel, it's to be oyster about this truma that he's giving.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous truma. those who reach agreement to be marked with the table that we have in our food today. And what you just ask them about it, that you can eat that first food.
No, no, you have to say that the ruler that the guy has is also terrible. He's permitted to eat that. But am I allowed?
You can eat
this
terrible.
No, no. Oh. Am I allowed?
It must be
that we are not allowed to eat his terrible. And once he's not reached the truth, now we are allowed to eat his terrible. Because if we would be allowed to eat his terrible, then it wouldn't be terrible, then the truth wouldn't be true.
Yes, that's right.
You can't have truth from non-terrible. Truth is only chayav from terrible.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. 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 Out of something that has an eat the pebble on. If it doesn't have a dinner pebble, then you can't be a
shoe.
So that's what Tayshin says, are you talking? Is that true? If it grew, either if it grew the shoe sagoy, or if he made the separation of the echo from the solar, either one or the other, then he may eat the pebble of the goy. So what are we talking about either? It's pebble? What do we have to, the Tayshin stands on the head to give you a whole complicated case. That it grew the shoe sagoy, first the Gilbi should say you saw it when the goy bought it, then he sold it back, and the goy did the Nirua. So he did the complicated thing.
You might give an example of the Lula, the second day, is one of the examples of the decision-giving. After the first day, he's been idle, the other 7 days, he's been alone. And he accepts the thing Lula said, it comes like a been idle, he's not a gospel.
No, no, he has a list of things. He has Chidushin. No, he has, for example, the following case. We have the dinner, it's a farmer, who lives in Eretz Yisrael has behemoths born to his flocks every year. That the farmer has 10 behemoths on one farm, he has one behemoth in Galil and 9 behemoths in and Be'er Sheva, that are not mature, that to be within a certain proximity to each other. Within a certain number of miles, 30 miles, so close to each other. But they have, let's say on one farm he has 100 behemoths that are born this year. He has a mix between Makrish and the behemoths. He takes 100 animals and then takes them through in a corral and he lets out one at a time. And each 10th one, he says, he puts the red mark on it, and he makes that, he declares that as Maisa Behem. The Maisa Behem is a carbon. What do you do with the carbon? The Rashi says at the end of Chumash Vayikra, the Torah doesn't say whom you give the Maisa Behem to. It sounds like you keep it yourself. The farmer brings the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and he lets the Kohanim shecht it, and sprinkles the dam on his bed, and then the Bala carbon, the farmer himself, eats the Behem. And there are psukim and divrei hayomim that indicate that the ma'aseh behem used to be given to kohanim. So the question is, from Vanakum, where does it say in the Torah you have to give ma'aseh behem to the kohanim? So the Nitziv has, this is one of the traditions, that even though in that Torah you're not obligated to give ma'aseh behem to the kohanim, but if you give it, there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah. It's not done, I've given the gift to the kohanim. That's not called ma'aseh kun. If the kohanim needs money, so I did stop here. The kohanim is a tamachachem. And ma'aseh tamachachem, whatever, if it's tumah, it's tumah. For some, if I'm going to give in the middle of nowhere, I'll give something to a Kohen, and the Kohen is wealthier than I am, there's no stuff here. And Mishka Tamachachim said, what Kima Mitzvah have I gotten from giving him something his own? But if I give him Maisa Behema, then it's Tibbet Mechad is based on the Tzukim and the Gayonim, and he explains where the Pasuk indicates that in Chumash at the end of Vayikra. He claims that there is no obligation to give it to the Kohen, but if you do give it, then it's a Mitzvah Behema Mitzvah of Yerushim. No one is a student. It's not the same as this Behema Mitzvah of Yerushim. That an Isha or an Ofer is volunteering the mitzvah that other people are obligated to do, but they're not obligated, so they're volunteering the mitzvah. No! Here the whole mitzvah is an optional mitzvah. No one is supposed to do this mitzvah, giving an Isha Behemoth to the Kohen. But the Torah said, if you give it to the Kohen, then you get caught.
Now, what do you mean?
No. Maisa Behema doesn't get any different
fish.
You give a matana to anyone else is an act, it's a gesture of friendship. But if you give a matana to the Kohen, Maisa Behema, it's considered the key mitzvah of Matzah Kohen. You fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah Kohen. But you're not obligated to it if you don't want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to give it to a Kohen. But if you gave it to a Kohen, this is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Matzah Kohen.
Not a matana.
It's considered the key of Matzah.
So that's not a gift.
The Loyapa Trophy. The Chumash says, King Karima Gamatem, that you, the owner of the farm, must be Makash, his own Truman. And the Apotropis, is the one who is the guardian of the estate of the Ixtanim, of the little kids, of the Ixtanim, is not permitted to be Makash, Truman, to Makash on behalf of the Ixtanim. So the problem is, the Gemara doesn't give the just the reverse, that the Apotropis is obligated to be mafish shulam kumaitis on behalf of the Yisrael. They cannot be mafish on their own. They're ketanim. A person is a lamp by Zah. So how do you have these two Gemara's things? This is a kasha that you're showing here. So the Gemara says a distinction, which is only the Rabbanim. The Gemara says, let's say the ketanim, these orphans, they have no parents, and they have the guardian who's taking care of their property. They have tremendous farms, and they have tons and tons of grain. And it's not shy that they should eat up all this grain. They're going to have to sell it to other people to eat. But there's a certain amount that they're going to eat themselves. No, but the natives, they're going to cook food for them. They're going to eat their own. So the Gemara says the apotropos is only allowed to be mafish shumas and maisis on that amount that they themselves have to eat. But on the amount that they're going to have to sell to others, it's way more than they can possibly consume. So let's say they're going to need 30 pounds of flour a year. Who's guessing? I don't know. They're going to eat 30 pounds of flour a year, bread, cake, cookies, whatever. Oh, yeah. So the apotropos is only allowed to be mafish on the 5 pounds of flour that they need for the next month. He's not allowed to be mafish on all the 30 pounds that they're going to use for the whole year. He's mafish as we go along. But there's a thing, you're not allowed to sell
tests. What happened to the balance?
You have no bread with it. In this case, you have no bread.
What happened to the balance?
Okay. So the Gemara says, the apotropos is only permitted to be mafish through the samaritans on the earth, and he's selling them on the amount that they have to eat immediately, for immediate consumption. What they're going to eat in the future, next month, or what they're going to sell to other people, the apotropos is not empowered to be mafish through the samaritans. That's how the Gemara says it is. So all of the Rishonim claim that this distinction that between what the apotropos has the right to be mafish on and not, that the can only be mafish kedei lahach on the yad, in order that they should eat right away. But not kedei lahamiyah, to leave over the chuldon to be mafish to Shumas and Isis, to take over the devil. And he eat him out and he eat it immediately, that he's not allowed to be mafish. This distinction is only with the Rabbanon, and then I tell you it doesn't make any difference whether the Yisrael want to eat the stuff immediately, or they want to eat it next month, or they want to sell it to somebody else. But the question is, so what is the Din Menator? What type is the Din Menator? Is the Din Menator that there's a lot of the apotropos, there's a lot of the mafish on everything? And the Rabbanon, they limited the powers of the apotropos, and we only allow him to be mafish on what the Yisraelim have to eat immediately. But if they know it's in the reverse order, Menator, the apotropos cannot be mafish anything, because the Prophet says, I'll send away apotropos. And with the Rabbanon, they gave the apotropos the ability to be mafish in the semaitis on what the Yisraelim have to eat immediately. How could they do that to the Rabbanon? How do you pull off that stunt? That Menator, the apotropos, has no right to be mafish in the semaitis at all. So how can the Chachamim institute that the Rabbanon will be mako? The Rabbanon will only authorize that the Torah is with his kumas. They cannot make any kumas. The Torah says the Shemaitim as the Shemaiti. As soon as Shemaitim is the Shemaiti, the Rabbanon will authorize to introduce the Yogim and Hachokis and the Zeilis. As soon as the Yogim is the Torah. But if the Torah says there's a stone wall over here, the apotropos is not in power, he's not authorized to be mafish shumas and maisis. So far from, how can the Rabbanon allow him to be mafish shumas and maisis on that amount of food that he says he needs for immediate consumption? So they're trying to explain that this is not really, it doesn't really pose a problem. They explain half the goodness. The apotropos cannot, let's say, I'm the apotropos on this little kid's property. So I cannot be mafish to Mr. Maisis and his grain and his flour because it doesn't belong to me. And the Kumas says, I stand the loyal apotropos. I'm not the owner of the cattle, so I can't be mafish. But once the Rabbanon decided to give me off, they said the poor kids have to eat, and you're not allowed to let them eat several. And they can't be mafish to Mr. Maisis on their own, they're not bar mitzvah. And the person who's mafish to Shumah has to be a bar dar. They are not bar dar, they're only 10 years old. Even if they know what they're doing, I'll forgive their bar dar. And the apotropos doesn't own the cattle, so he has no right to be mafish shumas and maisis. So the Rabbanim saw there's a problem. So they declared hefker bez mehefker. They said that the 5 pounds of flour that the kids need for this month or for this week, they declared that 5 pounds of flour now belongs to the apotropos, and as his flour, he now has the right to be mafish shumas and maisis. Okay. Good. That's the way
out.
And then by that. Okay. The Rabbanon said it's too complicated. They said instead of selling him, buy him back, they can do it like this. So this is clear, this is the Rishonim Ochron, this is clear that the distinction between what the Yisraelim want to eat immediately or what they're going to eat at the end of the year, what they're going to sell to other people, that we say the apotropos can only be mafish shumas and maisis on what the kedei lahach el miyad, what the Yisraelim want to eat right away. But what they're not going to eat right away, he has no right to be mafish on. That distinction is only with the Rabbanon. And the Natorah, they both have the same status. So what is the Din Natorah?
He was a major controversy among the Rishonim. What is the Din Menatorah? Do you say that the Apotropos Menatorah has a right to be mafish to his mitzvahs on everything, even on what they're going to sell, even on what they're going to eat next month? But he says, no, Menatorah, the Apotropos has no right to be mafish anything at all. And it's only with the Rabbanim that he has the right to be mafish even on what they want to eat now. What is this, Machlokes? But this, the Rishonim explained very well, this is a very major issue. The Gemara has a din earlier in Kiddush, and the Gemara has a din in Bava Kamma, that the Gabbai Shal Tzedokin goes around collecting the Pushka, let's say. Well, the Gabbai Shal Tzedokin is not some who collects the Pushka, he's some Shriya. The Gabbai Shal Tzedokin, who has the right to decide whom to give the money to, and he gives out the cash, he makes out the check. So the one who's in charge doesn't own the Tzedokin. He's a rich man, let's say. He has an excellent, whatever. He doesn't get a percentage from it. So the question is, what status does he have over the money of Tzedokah? So the Gemara says clearly that he has a din of a non-yaranim on him. The Gemara says he has the status of a bayin on the Tzedokah. It doesn't mean because he's getting a cut, it doesn't mean he's allowed to get a cut. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It doesn't mean he's a poor man. He's a wealthy man, and he makes his own finances, he makes a living. He's not getting paid from the Tzedokah. He's doing his share of the shame mitzvah. He's not getting any percentage. So the Gemara still says that the kid, Bishol Tzedokah, has a din bialim on the moment of Tzedokah. What's the significance of saying that he has a din bialim? So the Gemara has two dinim. The Gemara has two halachas that depend on who the bialim is. And the Gemara says that with respect to both dinim, we declare the Gabbai Shal Tzedokah as the bialim of the Tzedokah. The two dinim are as follows. The first din is Maimon Shloshta. So the din that runs like this. Let's say you owe me $100. And you didn't pay up the money yet. And I'd like to give a gift to somebody. I want to give David $100. So if all three of us are here, and I say, look, you owe me $100. Instead of giving it to me, give the money to him. So the Gemara says, min ha-Torah, I can always back out. But with the Rabbanim, they declare this as a kinyan with the Rabbanim. I'm a shloshim as a kinyan with the Rabbanim. And once I say, if all three of us are present, if one of us is not around, it's no good. But if all three are present, the Maimon Echor, we're all together, and I tell you the $100 that you owe me, say to him, I cannot back out. Okay, and now the Gemara has the following shaila. What happens if you owe me $100 and the Gabbai Shal Tzedokah is here? I say $100, I need your $100, that's a whole net. Give the $100 to the Gabbai Shal Tzedokah. Then you say, okay, you ready to shell out the money. So they say, oh, you have the money. I thought you're never going to give the money. If you have the money, give it to me. I changed my mind. So the Gemara says, too late. Once I said, give it to the Gabbai Shal Tzedokah, and the Gabbai Shal Tzedokah is here, so the Gemara says, we acquired ownership of Maimon Shloshtam. So the Gemara says, what kind of Maimon Shloshtam? But he's not a poor man. He's not the army. He's not going to get the money. He's just going to be the Gabbai to get the money. He's a shliach to give it to somebody else. That's not Maimon Shloshtam. Maimon Shloshtam, you need the one who owes the money to me. We're both here. And the person to whom the money is going to go, but the person to whom the money is going to go is not here. He's a different party. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. The Giz, the Shal Tzedokah, has the status of the Bailam over Tzedokah. It doesn't mean he has the right to take any of the money. For sure, he's not allowed to take any money. But he has, al Pidin, the halacha declared that the Giz, the Shal Tzedokah, is considered a Bailam. He has the same Bailam over the Tzedokah. That's one din. Then the Gemara has another din. That din is not that relevant to us. The next din is very relevant to us. Every year when we sell a chum, the following din is relevant. You have another din of Kinyan Agar. The din is, if I want to sell you Karaka means real estate, a house, a field, a farm, attached to the ground. Or if I want to sell you a calculus, I want to sell you a limo, I want to sell you clothing, I want to sell you a furniture, groceries, whatever. So Kinyan and Karaka are separate. There are methods to transfer ownership of real estate. And there are different methods, there are different forms of Kinyan that are necessary to transfer ownership on the calculus. So the Mishnah has again, Peyton says it's in the Rabbana. Peyton says it's not in the right. The question is, so we have a din of Kinyan Aga, if I'm selling you both Karaka and the Talmudim, all you have to do is make a Kinyan on the Karaka, and when I say the Karaka now belongs to you, and I want you to acquire ownership of the Talmudim together with the Karaka, there's no need for any new Kinyan on the Talmudim. Let's call this the Talmudim I'm mixing, Aga, a Karaka. By means of you acquiring the Karaka, you also acquire ownership of the Talmudim without any mighty Kinyan. That's Kinyan Aga. So the Gemara has a shaila in the first Pharisee tradition. What happens if a lot of transfer, I own a lot of property, real estate, and I own a lot of metalphalan. I want to transfer the karka to you, and the metalphalan to somebody else. So does Kinyan Agav work? Is it to two different people? The karka is le'echot, So the Tafel and Ra'achah, so the Gemara is specific what the Dina is, and we don't have a final stop at it. So Ra'achah says that if you take the Dina, and you treat it as such, I'm looking at Ra'achah on the right, because whoever happens to have it has the right to treat it. But the Gemara says, there's one case that there's no suffix, there's one tricky case that there's no suffix. The Mishnah tells us the story that Rabbi Akiva was once traveling on the boat, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Gamliel, they must have been traveling for a long time. The Gemara says a lot of stories, everything was going on that boat. They were buying a soybean and everything. They must have been for a year or so. Every youngest, something was going on the same boat. They had to go to Rome to speak to the emperor and then come back to try up the Xerus against Caesar. So the Gemara tells one of the various things that happened on the boat was that Akiva was the Gabbai Shal Zof. He's in charge of the Pushti, he's in charge of himself. So Rabbi Gamliel was the president of the Medina. He was the president of the Eretz Yisrael. He was very wealthy. He had a lot of farms. He had a lot of miser on it, but he hasn't given away to the Aniyim yet. So the Mishnah tells us, in Masechus Maaser Sheni, he gave ownership, the Mishnah says, he rented a piece of real estate to Rabbi Akiva, that's the Karka, and Agav the Karka, which he rented to Rabbi Akiva, the Koma Muskalo, he gave ownership of the miser on it, of the fruits and the vegetables and the grain and the olives and the grapes, he gave the ownership of the Maitirani to the Aniyim. So the Gemara says, what kind of a Kinyan Agav is there? The stuff that we had before, Karka was there, and the Talmud and Lacha is giving the ownership of the Karka to the Akiva, where the Akiva is renting his house, and Agav of the Akiva is renting his house, but the Akiva is acquiring the ownership of the Maitirani for the Aniyim, not for himself, but the Akiva was not a poor man. It's three tasks, and it's already mufrash, and it's labeled, it's three separate barrels and bushels, except that he just didn't give it away to the Aniyim. And it's coming Erev Pesach, and it's coming Erev Pesach in the dinners, that Erev Pesach of the fourth year, and Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year, the seventh year, there's a mitzvah zeal, you have to get rid of all the food of the money. You have to have Kodesh to not buy. Because they're on the boat, so how's he going to give away the Maitirani to the Aniyim? So he made his son. He called him Akiva, you represent the Aniyim, and I'll give you the Maitirani, and I will thereby in the kind mind of Biur. It'll be considered as if I got rid of all of my tumors and mices by giving it to you as representing the Aniyim. But the Gemara asks in the first parish in Kiddushin, isn't this a situation of Karkal Echol and the Talpal and Lacha? How does the Kinyanaga function over here? He's giving the Karkal to Rabbi Akiva, and he's giving the Maitirani to the Aniyim. It's to two different people. Rabbi Akiva himself is not the Yoni. Rabbi Akiva is just representing the Aniyim. He's a Shliach. But that's not a Kinyanaga, that's a questionable Kinyanaga.
Can't
even
claim it for himself?
No, he said, well, he's poor. It wouldn't appear that he was a poor man. He's gone on this Caribbean cruise and suddenly he could afford the... He didn't need the Maaser Ani.
But if he was
he could have kept it himself.
And then he could have given
over to the Indian. Right. But the Gemara assumes that he wasn't poor. So the Gemara asks, what kind of a Kenyan Agav is this? If the Karka rents Rabbi Gamliel rents his Karka to Rabbi Akiva. And he's giving to the Aniyah Maaser Ani. It's not a case of Karka le'echod, and the Talpul and la'acher, and that's what we consider the Shiloh. We don't know what the deal is in such a case with the Kinyan Agav works or not. The Gemara says no. Since Rabbi Akiva was the Gizbah Shal Tzokah, that was his official function. That was his capacity. We know that the deal is that the Gizbah Shal Tzokah has the status of violence on the moment of the Tzokah. So it's considered Karka and the Talpul and la'odah ne'echod. That's what the Gemara says in two places. The Gemara called the Kamer. And that one is, where is it? Another kind of that one is Zion, and that one is God says, that the Gizbah Shal Tzokah is considered the Bailam on the Tzokah, and he says the Kinyan minus Shloshtam, that if the two parties are here, and the Gabbai Shal Tzokah is here, minus Shloshtam works, because the Gabbai Shal Tzokah is the Bailam on the Tzokah. The Gemara before, in the first person contribution, says, with respect to the Kinyan Agav, we consider it Karka Matalka and Lahoda Mechod, because the Gizbah Shal Tzokah is the Bailam on the Tzokah. So this is what the Gemara says regarding the Gabbai Shal Tzokah. The Gabbai Shal Tzokah has the status of Bailam over the moment of Tzokah. What about the Gizbah of Hegdish? What status does the Gizbah of Hegdish have over the Hegdish property? Does the Gizbah of Hegdish consider, does he have the same Bailam on the Hegdish property? When he sells and he buys, he acts with a dim Bailam just like the Gizbah Shal Tzokah? Or do you say, no, the Gizbah Shal Hegdish is like a Shliach. He's not really like a Bailam. So in Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Chumas, Teretalaf HaMachalaf, the very beginning of Chumas, this is the Machlokes HaMoraim. Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan against Rishloch. There's no contradiction. The Gizbah Shal Tzokah, the Gemara says clearly, has a din Bailam on the moment of Tzokah. But it doesn't necessarily follow one way or the other what would the status of the Gizvishal Hegdish be. And the Gizvishal Hegdish, does he have the status of a bottom over the property of Hegdish? Or perhaps he has a bit like a Shliach. We treat him as if Hegdish had appointed him as a Shliach. What's the difference if he functions anyway? What's the difference whether he's a Shliach or he's a Bailin? So the Shami has a whole machlokes where there is enough to mean it for Truma's purpose. Shami has enough to mean. So similar to this machlokes in the Shami regarding the Giv B'Shal Hegdish is a major machlokes in the Shami. What is the role of Apotropos? How does the Apotropos function on behalf of the Shami? A man dies and leaves a little orphan, and somebody has to take care of it. So we derive from a postic on the next time, on Rahman Day. You can have an apotropish in an Ahab, the assignment, either the father before he died, leaves a will, or if he left no will to appoint, then the Bezin can appoint. Yeah, there are differences in Dinam Dirabbana. On a level of Dirabbana, it doesn't make anything. But Dinam Dirabbana, there are differences. After the Gizbah has finished, let's say the Gizbah for 5 years, and every kid, they're old enough to take care of their own business. They want to take care of everything on their own. So the Mishnah has a Takana Dirabbana, but the Gizbah now has to swear that he didn't cheat while he was serving his capacity as their guardian. So there's an Achleke Tatanai, which Gizbar has to swear, or which Gizbar is doing at such a nice favor. Yeah, in the Torah, you never have a Shavuot. Here the whole Shavuot is in Gamsim with the Rabbana for sure. Nobody has any claims against it. Nobody claims it. These seven don't have any time. So the Mishnah says in Gizbar that we only require of one of the Apotropos to swear. The other Apotropos doesn't have to swear. So there's a machlekes hatanan in which direction. So one version is the apotropos was appointed by Bezin. So he did him a favor by accepting the job. So you can't require them to have to swear. But the apotropos was appointed by the father, he does have to swear. The other kind of whole deal to be reversed. One was appointed by the father, does not swear. The one was appointed by Bezin, does have to swear. But the difference between the two apotropos is only on a level of the Rabbana. On a level of the Raisa, it's the same thing apotropos that the apotropos was appointed by the father before he died. So the apotropos was appointed by the same day. So the question is, what status does the apotropos have that he can sell, let's say, he dies and he leaves hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever, leaves money in the bank, the apotropos decides to buy stock, then he decides to sell and to buy real estate, then he pulls it out of that, pulls it in another thing. What gives him the right to sell and to buy and to do whatever is necessary for the estate? So the Gemara says in the next verse, he cannot say that the estate have appointed him as a shliach, a cotton, he's done in Akhtanin, the before Bar Mitzvah, so the dinner of cotton cannot have anybody function on his behalf as a shliach. So that's the question. They don't function with the dinner shliach. The question is, maybe the dinner is off on the other, the shliach is on whatever is best in their interest, so the dinner says you don't even have to appoint somebody as a shliach. People can do it on your behalf. It's off on the other, the shliach is on it. If they know that the best thing in the interest of this person is to have his house bought, to have the house sold, whatever is best in his interest will send it off on the other side of time. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's so, but this is a problem. What happens if they're unhappy later on with he sells and he buys? And not everything that he does is so wonderful for them. Sometimes he's going to fall in. Sometimes he's going to sell and then he's going to buy and he's going to lose their, he's going to make a poor investment, he's going to lose their money. So how can you say that that's off on the other side of time? It's not a simple case of off on the other side of time. So the Gemara says, well, we have a policy that it works anyway. Even though it's not a straight case and not on the other side of the funnel, still there is an institution of apotropos and it works. So the question is, so what is it in? How does it work? So here's a major dispute among the Rishonim. So Rashi interprets on that Gemara that it's a special form of not on the other side of the funnel. The normal dinam zachon liyam shalav pan, we have to judge in each and every individual case. Is this going to be detrimental for that person, or is it going to be better for him? Only if it really turns out that it's better, then you say zachon liyam shalav pan. And if you meant well and it turned out bad for the person, then you don't. Then it's all null and void. The act that I did on behalf of the other person is not valid. But by not the trust is, how is he going to function on behalf of the kid? He's going to buy something, and then he's going to turn around and sell it. He says, I back out. He backs down, it's no good. He's going to sell something, it's going to turn out, it goes up. He's going to sell the stock, then they go up. I made a mistake, he wants the stock back. So no one's going to want to do any business with an apotropos. So it's going to be terrible for these sellers. How can the apotropos function? So you have to say that it's a special form, this is how Rashi says, a special form of dropping the arms by the front of, to have an apotropos function on behalf of these sellers, this is close to these sellers. 20% of the time he's going to make a lot of mistakes, and he's going to lose their money. Those are the breaks. That's all part of the cruise. The cruise is that they should have somebody else function for them. They can't do on their own. They're not going to die. They're little kids. And even if they are, they're bar mitzvah. They're going to the yeshiva. They have no time to go in bed. They can't figure out what to do with their money. They don't know what's going on in the business world. So you have to allow an apotropist to function on their behalf. Now the apotropist functions with the din. Don't go on the Ramah Shlomo Chanan. That's one opinion. No, no, you can't be a shliach from the father. The father died. Father's dead. Right. Whenever someone appoints a shliach and the man appoints a shliach dies, then all shliach is involved. You see, even though the apotropist was appointed by the father, once the father dies, so the din, the meaner shliach is not there. He's an apotropist.
But you have
a
kid before. Is he a shliach from the father or is he a shliach from the
bed? No. There are two kinds of apotropists. One is the apotropist who was appointed by the father, Mechaim. And one is the apotropist who was appointed by the dead. The Nathera doesn't make any difference. What kind of apotropist is? The difference is only in Dinam Durabana. Between an apotropist appointed by the father and an apotropist appointed by the Bezdin, the whole difference will only happen in Dinam Durabana. When, which apotropist has to swear? When he completes his job and he hands in his papers and he gives everything back, and which he takes his word and he doesn't have to swear. On the level of the right, it's the same apotropist. But the question is, so what is the status of an apotropist? What role? How does he function? What right does he have to sell or to buy or so on? So one opinion is, that's Rashi's view on the next job, that the apotropis is a fancy form of the din, we have a din, what's the original din, I want to give somebody a gift. And the person is not here. He didn't come today. So I give you the matana, and I tell you, you pick up this matana, and be very happy to have with everybody else. So that's the din, So the opinion of Rashi on the next stop is that the whole institution of apotropis is based on the idea of Zalman Yom and Shlomo Zalman. The apotropis does things on behalf of these sons because they need somebody to function on their behalf. 20-30% of the time they'll be dissatisfied with the job that he did. So how can you consider that as good? Still, they declare everything the apotropis does is his good because they have no better way to take care of their business. You have to have somebody do it for me. And other Yishanim disagree and say no. And once the Gemara points out on the next daf that the Mechadesh, an institution of apotropis, that apotropis has the act, has the right to act on the property of the defendant as if he were a bailiff, like the Giz B'Shalzaka. Like I said, the Giz B'Shalzaka, that the Gemara says, the Giz B'Shalzaka has a status of bailiff. The Giz B'Shalzaka is a machlokes, that the Yechem Yishlokesh in the beginning of the Yisham Shum, so the Giz B'Shalzaka is Dilati Bailim or Dilati Shaliyah, that the Nafkinim is there. What's the status of apotropis? That's a major machlokas. But apotropis is basically a deal of Kibayim, or apotropis is basically, no, it's basically a deal of Zakhmi Yom Shalitana. So the question comes in over here about HaKosh of Tshuma. So therefore the Rishonim say that in our Torah world, the apotropis can be Makosh Tshuma on everything he wants. 100%. But he has a deal of Bailim. He functions like a Bailim on everything. So in our Torah, the Bailim has a right to be Makosh on everything. And it's only because Rabbanim has limited his powers and said, no, don't be Makosh Tshuma on whatever they're not going to eat immediately. And the other opinion of the Rishonim is just the reverse, that no, the Nathari Apotropis can't be Makosh anything at all, because Apotropis is based on Zalman Yom Shlomo Zalfana, and you can't use Zalman Yom Shlomo Zalfana to be Makosh Tshuma to somebody. To be Makosh Tshuma, he has to have appointed you as a Shliach. And here the Ketanim cannot appoint the Apotropis as a Shliach, the Ketanim will not have mitzvah. They can't have a Shliach. And I tell you, apotropis can't be mafish any truman, can't be mafish anything. And it's only with the rabbanon that he has the ability to be mafish anything.
Why are these questions that we've discussed before? Because you have to sell them. What they don't need, they have to sell them. And since, I want to explain what he actually is doing. He sells seven handbells out. But he's doing his handbells.
Not nice to sell seven.
That's when he has to go
to
sell his property.
No, but he shouldn't say that. Zakhmi Yom Shlomo Zalfana doesn't apply to Shulman's and Nice. That's the question. And somebody did not return it to life, it's to somebody else.
It's like the actor's cell phone. He had to do it to the best source, wherever he wanted to work, shot on, get the right to do the best way possible, the one that he had.
Right.
And the best way possible
to tell the story. So that's what the Rishon Lezion said. They said the pasuk that teaches us the institution about the trust is only speaking about buying and selling, only about Nekech HaMemcha. So only in that area does he have a right. If the pasuk tells him that the trust has a status like violence, then he's a violence for selling and buying for violence all versus true. But if the pasuk tells me not so, but it tells me that despite the fact that it's not such a development course, we nevertheless consider it course. So that's only in business. It's only business deal, not any sort of
effort. He says, open the road wouldn't help. Let me buy all companies away and out of the country. And he has certain problems. And he's going to spoil. And it's terrible.
Yes.
And I know that he would want me to interfere if I would be told for him.
We passed in that he could. We passed in that Rahman al Shahrukhana does apply to Hafar al-Jusin 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 al-Jusin. But in this case, not. The Gemara says, in this case, not. That's how the Rishon Lezion responds. This is a major machlokes. Let's say in Shulchan Aruch they have the following shaila. It depends on this machlokes. What happens if you owe me again? You owe me $100, and I say, give the money to these little kids. Give the money to the Yisraelim. And the Yisraelim are not here, but the Truchus is here. Does that constitute a money
shaila?
That would be the machlokes. If I would recognize it like violence, but the Jews, the Gemara says it is a money shaila because it has to be like violence. But the Apotropos is doing it to violence, so then you would have a minor shloshtam, so then it would be good. But if Apotropos is not doing it to violence, so he's an outsider, and he has the right to function on their behalf, based on the principle of Zohar and the other shloshtam.
And if
same shloshtam, but if the Gizvah Hegdish is it been violent or is it been shlia? I think the Gizvah Hegdish is easier though, because by Hegdish, you have a principle on the Yosel of the Voyantim to the Yosel of Hegdish on it. Hegdish doesn't need any mighty to Kenyan.
Yeah.
By Hegdish, you can do a meal of the Voyant. I say, I declare, I want to give this to Hegdish. It's automatically Hegdish without any need for a mighty to Kenyan. But here, by Hegdish, this is a Shaila in the other day. This is a Shaila of the Voyant, in Shulchan Aruch. If I want to, the money doesn't owe me, I want to give it over to the Yisraelim. And they are not here. But they are represented by the Apotropos. With the presence of the Apotropos constitutes a Kenyan, minus Shlosh to my. But that's exactly the machlokes of the Rishonim. Shachar Yadav, no, not Shachar Yadav is good. Shachar Yadav is good. 100% Shachar Yadav is like this. If I have the money, and I say, here, pick up the money and make a king, then I'll be happy to be sent. That would be Shachar Yadav, but I don't have the money. You owe me the money. You didn't give it to me yet. If you take the money out and you give it to the other guy and he picks it up, that's part of Shachar Yadav. But you didn't take the money out of your pocket yet. I just declare about that. The debt that you owe me should be transferred to him.
So do they have
the same song? Or the same thing, let's say, Kenyan Agav, the same shaila. Let's say, I want to sell my karka. I want to sell my karka to the Apotropos. And I have a whole ton of comic books and I want to give them to the Yisraelim. And they didn't make any Kenyan on the Metalkian. The Apotropos made a Kenyan on the karka. And I say, Agav, the karka that you are now acquiring, the Yisraelim who are in your charge, you're the Apotropos of the Yisraelim. They should be sent to the problem other than the character. Is that called Tarka Lech and the problem of mine?
They're the people. They're the people.
Right.
And then he sent, and in his capacity, as an apostle, he wanted to be kind of, but Rabbi Akiva rented the area, the property, the real estate of Abraham Liel for himself.
And Adab, that Karaka, he was kind of the Maitarani for the Aniyan. So the Gemara says, but isn't that a case of Karaka Lecho and the Talkman Wa'achel? And he said, no, since the Gizbar over the Zafir, the Gabbat is back to Zinik Yisrael, let's consider Karaka and the Talkman Wa'achel Echo. So this is a subject of Shulchan Aruch, that's the Dinvay Apotropos. Is Apotropos Zinik Yisrael, then it's called Karaka and the Talkman Wa'achel Echo. But if the Apotropos is Zinik Yisrael, the other Shulchan Aruch, he's an outsider. Acting on their behalf. It's not that we give the Apotropos a dim light to buy them over their property. We don't give them that honorary status. We just treat them like an outsider doing work on their behalf. Then if I give the character to the Apotropos and the Metalkalim to the Yisraelim, then it would be a subject whether the Yisraelim. That would be a case of Kassel Echor and the Metalkalim and Lachal. That would be a subject whether the Yisraelim would be coming on.
Do Yisraelim have any input to the Apotropos?
They have input. He doesn't have to listen to them.
So what's the rule of that?
They've given them the link, say, I want to give this to...
If you send them right here, if you owe me the money, you send them right here. But that's the direct, mine is lost on.
But they're here.
They're here, and I'm not giving the money to them. But if they're not here...
But the army, you can't get that support.
Like if the army were here, the army would send it directly, this money.
The time can't
be coming.
You
can't get the money. No, mine is lost on this return. The Senate will pick up, let's say, I'd love to make some mighty kingdom, so that's only a kingdom of the Rabbanon sometimes. But if a kingdom minus less than that, you can make them a problem. That's no problem. Minus less than doesn't have to do anything, just stands there like a dummy. Just like we think when I say the money won't make the ball. You see, when we sell a comment, we do a very questionable thing. When we sell a comment to the joy, so all of the Balabatim don't sell a chametz because the guys don't have the rabbi reseller. Balabatim appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chametz on every year. So when the rabbi sells a chametz to the goy, he wants to make sure that he's making a good kinyan, that it should be a valid kinyan, to make sure that he and his Balabatim are not violating by the rabbi now. So there's a question exactly which kinyan has to be, which kinyan is valid. When you deal between two Jews, when a Jew sells to a Jew, then we know more or less, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you can figure out what to do, how to make a kinyan. But if it's a Jew, so it's not good, then you have all kinds of shilas and status and machlokes. So therefore, the common practice is that you make 16 units. When you sell, that's why usually the Balabatim has to grab like sell a chametz, they don't sell on their own, because it's pretty complicated. So now, in which order you have to make the 16 units. So the Rabbana make 16 units. One of the 16 units that he makes to sell a chametz to the goy is the Kinyan Agar. What's my Kinyan Agar? What do you mean? So the rabbi has an apartment. He doesn't have to own his apartment. If he rents his apartment, it's also good. He sublets one room in his apartment to the guy. And Agav, the rental, if he wants to sell his house, he never has a house, and he's selling the house, he's not good. He's selling the house, he doesn't have to. He can rent an apartment to the guy, or sublet the apartment that he rents from his own landlord to the guy. And Agav, the rental of his apartment to the guy, he sells his comics to the guy. So that's okay. I'm selling my character to the goy, and I'm selling my metabolism to the goy. That's okay. But I'm also selling the comments of the Balabatim to the goy. I got my character. How would you do that?
The rabbi holds this thing many times.
If the Balabatim sell the comments to the rabbi, and the rabbi has this kind of comment, and it's in the field, and if the rabbi makes a mistake, then it's his other, it's his own father, you are by him, but then you got no problem. But that's not the way you do things. The rabbis don't want to own all that comments. The rabbis don't want to own the comments. The rabbi is right. They don't want to, in case they make a mistake in the Mechira's comments, they don't want to suffer the burden of everybody's body work. So they just have the Balabatim appointment as a shliach to sell a comment on his behalf. So the rabbi functions on his own behalf, he sells non-comments. On behalf of the Balabatim, he's acting as a nation. He's acting as shlucha shalom kamarto. It's good you will use shlucha tzedekim when you do Mechira's comments. The rabbi sells a comment on behalf of the Balabatim. So the shaila is, the five kinyan that he makes are perfect. But the sixth thing in the kinyan agav is highly questionable. What is he doing? He's selling his own karka, or renting his own karka. The rabbi is renting his own karka to the guy. And now that his karka, he's selling the Balabatim comes to the guy. That's not so precious you can do that. The Gemara had itself say, what if I'm giving, I have karka and the tafelin, and I'm giving the karka to one person and the tafelin to another person. So the Gemara considers that a sacred agreement. Whether that's a valid Kinyan Agav. So the tension of flying in this case may be even worse. I have Karak and you have Metaphilim. Okay, and we're both giving our Karak and Metaphilim to the same person.
Why
is it a separate
place? Don't you sell when you give the rabbi a Kumbh, you offer him a place where the Kumbh is.
If we authorize the rabbi to sublet on a parking
lot,
if I'm doing something else,
you
have to read.
I mean, you can't really
use it. Come on. I give him the right to use it also. I have the right to use another. Give him the right to use that.
The
carpet also. The guy wants to come in, he can read his baggage in that room. So you have to read the document that you sign when you appoint the rabbi as a shliach. Because sometimes in some documents it says, I appoint the rabbi as a shliach. I authorize him to sell his amadi here to sell my comments. And I also authorize him to rent a certain room in my apartment. So some other certain room. Then your problem is solved. Then it's okay. But in many cases, the Balabatim sign is far more sure They authorize the rabbi only as a shliach to sell the chametz on their behalf, and not to sublet their authority. So how in the world is the rabbi doing so? 5 kinyanim he made. So 5-6. How much would that be? 80% was safe. So in the sum of 5 out of the 6 kinyanim, but the practice of the meaning is that the rabbi makes 6 kinyanim. So there's a shaila on each one of the kinyanim. So one of the kinyanim that he makes is kinyan agav. So the question is this valid or not? But the rabbi rents his own apartment to the goy, and agav, my renting my apartment to the goy, I sell the balabazah's chametz to the goy. What kind of kinyan agav is that? The Gemara has the opposite topic. Right, the topic in the Gemara the other way, right. So can we rely on that? Can we rely on that? So Rabbi Kivahidr comments regarding this. Rabbi Kivahidr on Shulchan Aruch has a comment. He says, no, this is okay. This is no problem. If the rabbi is a shliach, he's not starting outside. If the rabbi was appointed as a shliach on behalf of the Baal HaBatim, he says, that's what the Gemara said. The Rabbi Akiva, there's a man there, a man, a man. And then there's no problem. Since the rabbi is renting his apartment to the goy, and the rabbi is serving on behalf of the Baal HaBatim as a shliach, so kinyan agav does work. First, like Rabbi Akiva was a shliach of the Yamin, regarding the Maisa running, stuck every year. So the Achreinek, it's not the same. It gives the Shalt Zok, it might have been violent. That's a dinner by Mishloshan, and that's a dinner King and Agav. It gives the Shalt Zok have a dinner violent. Hashem came to Rabbi. I don't have a dinner violent on your property. You're appointed as a Shliach. A Shliach is not a Bible, a Shliach is an outsider. That's one of the shilas. One opinion is that the God is not trying to see an Adam. That's why he makes the other 5 kinyanim. Otherwise he would have only made the Adam. There's a suffix on each one of the kinyanim. There are assignments against each one. So that's why we make 6 kinyanim and we hope when we say, we say, kill him also, we hope. With all the 6 kinyanim, the God really owns the heart. One of them will work. So because they get playing, they say it's not a good mishta. Ananya Anim Anan is a special din that he gives because look, they have a din by them over the moment socket. But that has no application to an instance that somebody was appointed as a shia. He's not a by them over the other person's property, he's a shia. Shia is an outside. But the mother has a socket. That's not what the Rebbe Kivahidr says, but the later Achreinim say it's not the biggest. They say it's Daftia. Daftia because the Yiddish of Zotah has been violent, therefore it's called Kinyan Agav, therefore it's good. Anyway, this is the problem. This is a major machlokes in the Tosfim. What's the nature of apotropis? Whether apotropis is this fancy form of Zotah Yod and Shlodi Fono, in which case the apotropis is basically an outsider. He's not the Yiddish of violence. Well, no! Apotropis is the Yiddish of violence and has absolutely nothing to do with Zotah Yod and Shlodi Fono. The problem came in, the reason why there's a machlokes among the Rishonim is because the Gemara says on the next daf that you can't assume that the apotropis is simply a simple form of dropping the Yad Mishloach Tzomah. Because what the apotropis does a lot of times is detrimental to the Yisraelim. And then many times unhappy with what he does. If it would be simply a form of dropping the Yad Mishloach Tzomah, so later on if they complain, so they should break up everything the apotropis did that they're unhappy about. The deal is that they cannot break up the kinyan that he did, even though they are unhappy about it. You have to say that it's something new. If he says it's something new, then it's a brand new din. After Trump is doing a kibbalim. That's like the Yiddish of Zaka is doing a kibbalim. After Trump is over the moment you find him, he's also doing a kibbalim. Or no? You have to be trying to say no. There is a special form of Zaka we are in the Shred of Thomas. And whatever they do, even when they make mistakes, we declare the after Trump is, he always functions the Pharaoh's office at his time. If no one's going to be able to function for them, so it's going to be a problem for them, not that somebody do the work for them. So whatever the apotropis does is considered dropping down and shloach tzomah.
The father is not always doing the right thing for children. And he doesn't. It's the same thing.
What if you know that he does it maliciously?
I'm saying he did something, if he's a ball, it doesn't matter.
Does he have a din of shem achinam? Does he have a din of shem achinam? Does he have a din of shem achinam? But they want to say maybe we talk to him because otherwise no one would want to take a job as an apostrophe. No one will agree to be an apostrophe. So whenever he makes a mistake, he'll finally accept charges against him. So he'll give up the job.
We said what you need to start as soon as the man dies. If a man wants to get married, send the shliach to the married woman. The meantime he dies.
The shliach didn't know.
Is she here? Of course she didn't know. Now, is she considered an almana? Was the job is
never happened? Nothing, nothing.
It never took place.
It never took place.
What about if he had to swing put down into the ball and he wants to have certain money given to the shliach after he died? Or that's a vote. That person considered a shliach to do his inner part.
That's a different thing. If a person leaves the world that he wants to leave money, if it's doctor, then we have a dealing of just in the kind of Yemen. But even though he hasn't made a kinyan with that doctor, it's still a halakha, and it's to the kind of Yemen. You have to do what he is. But let's say if a person leaves the will that I want to leave my money to my cousin and to my teacher and to my friend and to my chavrut or whatever, people are not supposed to ration my money, and I didn't make any kinyan with them, then it isn't the best friend round. I want to give you my best friend. I want to give you all my money after I die, but you're not my son. The thing is that my son gets the Yerusha.
Right.
But if I want to give you the Yerusha, I have to make some kind of a kinyan or another. If I didn't make a kinyan, if I put the money in the trust while I'm alive, good. Then you apply the dinner, this is the kind of DNA, even though it's not stuck over here. But if I didn't put the money away, it's not the Yerusha from the kingdom of the cost while I was alive. I just knew this time, and that's why I wanted to get the money. But the thing is that that's not a valid savoir. It's a savoir, see how often means if I have a lot of sons, and I want one son to get more than the other, that's a savoir. If I have a lot of daughters, and I want one daughter to get more than the other, that's called a savoir. If I picked out injunctions, you're not allowed to cut out, not right to cut out one of the children, that's not it. To cut out one child, you shouldn't get it all, then the mother says you're not allowed to do it, but if you do, that's the question, what's the minimum? Is there a percentage? Is there an amount of money that you have to leave? That's the question that they discussed in Shulchan Aruch. How much you have to leave each child, and you shouldn't be violating the Yisra of Nav and Nachlevah.
Is that the reason that one of the things
left to
when
one of
the
kids got married to their lives? Because
that's
the children, and the children have been, but that's why
that
boy is not punished at
that time.
That's the question, what drives the Nishan in this
concept?
What drives
the Nav and Nachlevah
from the
others?
Okay. They say this is only an Asmachim Yidr Abdomen, and it means that Temple Yapatrophis, he's not allowed to be Mavish, Shumit the Mindshus, on whatever they're not going to eat immediately, whatever is not the immediate consumption. That's the question. On Temple Yapatrophis, is this an Asmachim, or is this the Iker Adin? That's the Machlokes in the Rishon. The Chumash very often has an expression like Daber Hashem or Moshe Leimor. So we always translate Leimor the same. When the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, we would like Kolim. Daber Hashem or Moshe, Kolim, quotation mark. And the Chumash is no Kolim, and there's no quotation mark. So the Chumash writes Leimor. That's the simple translation. But the Gemara tells us in Yumla that that's not the correct shot. The Gemara says Leimor means Leimor Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to deliver the following message to Bnei Yisrael. And the reason why Hashem had to say Leimor to Bnei Yisrael is, if he wouldn't have given him permission to tell this over to Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been forbidden to divulge his secret to them. And from this passage, and the fact that this phrase is repeated so many hundreds of times, that Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu would derive the principle that if I tell you a piece of information, if I announce it over television, or if I announce it in public, it's public knowledge, so there's no reason for you to go tell somebody else. But if I tell you some information privately, that I'm going to propose to the girl, I'm going to divorce the wife, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to apply for a different job, well, I tell some kind of personal information, you're forbidden to tell it to anybody else, it's still like an equal lesson. You're not allowed to tell it to anybody else, it's assumed that it's a secret. Not only if I ask you to keep it in confidence, even if I don't mention. Unless I tell you the courage, I give you permission to tell it to others. And that's why Hashem always had to say to my brother, I'm Hashem, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he told him to tell it to Bnei Yisrael. Wasn't it understood? The answer is no, it wouldn't have been understood. So Hashem wouldn't have told him explicitly, it would not have been understood, that it would have a right to tell it to anybody else. So the Medrash is bothered with the prophet that he reads today said that when Yaakov woke up, after he had a dream, and he saw the Malachim going after heaven, coming out from heaven, And he realized that this was a very holy place, and he came there to continue the Shara Shemayim, and he took a nether. So it says, even Yaakov nether, lay more. And Yaakov took a nether, saying, lay more means kogan, in quotation marks. So what are you going to say over here? Kogan nether says that a bunch of them that he should tell it to someone else. What's that lay more? The nether says, no. So he just quotes this nether, and it's quoted the other day, the first page in Hilchos Nedarim. Lay more nether. It means by either Yaakov nether, and Yaakov Abinu took a nether, lay more nether is to teach the future generations the following din. And whenever a person is the eighth sorrow, he's running away from his brother Esau, he thinks he's very poor. He doesn't know how long he's going to be a fugitive. He doesn't know how long he's going to have to hide out from his brother, he shouldn't be. So whenever a person is worried about what's going to happen in the future, and he needs the Eitel Shema, he wants the brother to help him now, so for this will be the eighth sorrow. Normally we say, Tell Hashem, I see that you should see that in the Shema. The Pasuk says in Shalat, it's better not to take the enemy down at all, because if a person takes a nether and he waits too long till he keeps his nether, then he violates, let's say, Adam Shalat. Let's say, a guy takes a nether to give money to the doctor. And he waits a long time, so he has to keep on sending him a letter and another letter, another letter, until he finally pays up his debt. But the violator, until he pays up the nether, until he pays up the pledge, he's violating Lo Sahel Shalat. But sometimes people forget completely to pay up the pledges that they promised. So they violate by Yaakov, they violate a bigger idea than waiting for the point. They violate the whole Israel and that itself. So the person says in Sahel, Tov Hashem lo tiga, it's better not to take any of them at all. You should see the Lord Hashem, because he may take a nether and violate the nether, and you may postpone the fulfillment of the nether, in which case you will violate Lo Tiga. So here the Torah tells us that when a person is the eighth sorrow, and he needs it, the eighth of the Shema, and he's nervous about the future, but if I can't be safe, the mitzvah leader, the mitzvah to be the Kabbalah on oneself, the dirt. That's why Yaakov took a nether, and the Torah says, either Yaakov nether, not just that he personally took a nether. Lame on the Torah, he took a nether to teach all of the future generation that they should do the same thing. Where do we do this? So that we shouldn't say that we practice this all of the time. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's always an appeal in Shul. The people find it very annoying to come high holiday. They come to get spiritual elevation. Then the rabbi gets up and he starts talking about money and they start making a deal. They say, give you an aliyah. And then they flip you for money again. But Rosh Hashanah, you got to say how much money you're giving. And then you come and pay for Shavuot Sukkot and make an appeal. And they say, yes, because I said I'm making an appeal. So the Rosh Hashanah say, no, it's not just that more people show up in Shul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So we have a captive audience and we can hold them up and we give them an aliyah and we say, Babu Shalagai, and you embarrass the fellow into giving money. No. Since Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are Yemehadin, there is no Shuvah, Hashem is judging the whole world, and Yemehadin are an eighth soul. Even an eighth soul, we don't know who knows that he's going to come. If he would never invent that he's going to come out Zakai, he's going to have a good year, then he wouldn't have to give any money on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. But we don't know what's going to come out. As far as we're concerned, because of our lack of our knowledge, as to what our Mishnah would be, so Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur does make Shuvah Yemehadin, and the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that not only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot are also Yemehadin. The Pesach of Gemara says, Nidonim Al Tzvuah, the Shavuot Nidonim Al Peret Limon, for the Chag and Sukkot Nidonim Al Amayim, and the Rishonim say that Pesach Shavuot Sukkot are also Yemehadin. Shabbos is not Yemehadin. Shabbos is not the Shabbos to make an appeal. But on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, that's considered Yemehadin, so there's a mitzvah to take a nether. It doesn't have to be a nether to give stokit. If you want to give stokit, it's not. If you want to take a different kabbalah, go to them. If a person wants to be in the kabbalah to learn more. He wants to learn 10 hours every week. It's good. Most people would rather do the stokit than to learn. But the mitzvah is legal, the eighth surah. And the Bali Muslim in Europe always used to say that a Rosh Hashanah without a kabbalah, without any New Year's resolution, the going guide from the Jews. Rosh Hashanah is considered an eighth surah. I don't know about the going, what they consider New Year's. But we consider Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as an eighth sorrow. If you call Rosh Hashanah as an eighth sorrow, it's a mitzvah leader. Mitzvah leader doesn't only mean to give stock in, like Yaakov said he's going to give 9% stock, he's going to give 1/10 of all of his money, he's going to give away to charity. That's one form of nether. You can take another nether to improve your way. You're not going to drink, and you're not going to curse, and you're not going to overeat. You're not working hard, you're going to learn more, whatever. So that's why the Jews always took New Year's resolutions. It means the cover that you may have been of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a mitzvah leader, it's a person who's mekabel upon himself and burn. And the mitzvah yeshivas in Europe, they always used to say like that. Rosh Hashanah without a kabbalah is mishnah Rosh Hashanah. If the kabbalah Rosh Hashanah, the person doesn't accept any New Year's resolution, some pilgrims, what he's doing this year. Kabbalah means a nether, so it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah. He hasn't really experienced the Mayadit. So literally, does he start? Now that we're just speaking about this point, it's important to point out. A lot of times it shows when you give a person an aliyah, so the person is ready to say, he's ready to give you so much money, to the tenth of Shabbat, but the making can say, yes, it's Babur, Shafa'ol, and Mubarakah. The Rebbe Shalom should bless my grandchildren, my great grandchildren, my cousin, my uncle, when I start listening of a whole lot of money, I'll go Shafa'ol, and Mubarakah. A lot of times when a person is speak like Mon Islam, so they say, Tiran, and they say in the Shabbat, and they say, Babur, Shakor HaKol, and following Babur. So the self can say that this is not correct, this is not right. It's not right to ask Hashem Yisrael to give somebody a Rishwar Shleim, but because we're davening. What kind of a demand is that? Because we're davening? Because we're giving Tzokir. Now he's talking. If you want to give Tzokir, that's how you give up. The Gemara says that one is not committed to ask Hashem Yisrael for something because I daven so well. That's called Eden Tzimor. The Gemara says, if I rely on my prayer so much, that I feel I have a right to demand of Hashem, he should do something, he should give my family a shlema, he should give me children, he should give me a shidduch, he should give whatever I need, a job, get rid of my work, a new work, whatever I need, he should do this because I ask for it. So because you ask, so what? You hold that your feel is so strong that you have a right to demand that the Hashem has to give it to you because you work so hard and you have a tefillah. So the Gemara says when a person relies heavily on his tefillah, he feels that his davening is not strong kavana. That's why this is Ma'ir Dinam on him. The Bezmer Shammah will start to check his books to see if he's really worthy or not. But the Gemara says he never liked the demand of Hashem Yisbara. You should do this for me because I always come to shul and I always like tefillin and I always daven and I always bench and I don't eat choice of food and I don't run around with other women and I don't drink and I don't curse and I don't talk much more. He never liked to ask for tzchar. The only thing he would like to ask for tzchar for is tzedakah. The Gemara says in Talmud that only in the area of tzedakah, the tzedakah says in Shayotah, so the Chamun is not Bazal, you can test Hashem, the Bechini, you can test Hashem only Bazal, so this one thing, Avinah Kalam HaSeh Daisha Ritzah, the Chamun is not Bazal, when you give Tzokhe, you have a right to demand reward for the Tzokhe that you give. That's why the Gemara says, if a person gives Tzokhe, Babosh Yichli Dinei, the son is sick, and he gives Tzokhe, that Hashem is Gosh, you give a fresh lens of the Chamun is a Chamun, then the Gemara says, it's a Tzokhe, that's okay. That's the only time you're allowed to have Tzokhe. And that's what the Pesukim say in Shulchanot, and when you say in the Shabbat, you have to mention that the Rebbeinu Shlomo should give it for a shleimah to this chaylah, or he should give everybody a bracha, a babur, that you're giving money. That's time a babur shacharim and a baruch hay. Remember once in Yeshiva, I was on a leg, driving by the Balabat, and then he used to drive with the Talmidim. So one day he woke up very early, the Talmidim had a lakeman, Balabat and driving earlier, so he woke up early, so he went to Dabna the Balabas. So he was okay, he was so happy that Rabbi Talmeshi came. They gave him an aliyah, of course, he was on Monday, gave him an aliyah. And he started making a Mishabarah. So his register on the Hashem was still alive. So he made a Mishabarah for the register. So Rabbi Talmeshi still is doing $5. Then he said he's making another Mishabarah for his son and his daughter. So he's just giving another $5. Then he said he's making another Mishabarah. And every time they made another Mishabarah, he thought he has to give more money. He changed up making Mishabarah because I want to give my brother. But then they have to say, Babu, that they're always giving stuff.
If we're Zaka, we don't get to do it.